All right, our reading is taken from Luke chapter number 2, starting at verse number 8. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and it reads, "In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us.' So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them." Amen. Okay, I want you to turn to your neighbor. Look your neighbor square in the eye. Don't touch your neighbor. Point at yourself. Point at yourself with both hands. Point at yourself with both hands as you look your neighbor square in the eye and say, "Neighbor,
I have been accepted.
Neighbor, I have been accepted. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. We have entitled our message this morning, "I Have Been Accepted." Now, this week's sermon is a continuum of last week. Last week, we identified something that we needed to know. We needed to know last week that I am in a blessed place. We talked about how Jesus being born here in the stable and laid in the manger, and that didn't appear to be what's considered the customary places you want to have a child. And what we have to know for a fact is that when we surrender and we take on God's will, then the plan for our lives is not our own. That God's plan is bigger than what we can think. And God has called us to be a part of the plan that he has. But truth be told, when God's plan for our lives come to fruition, we ain't always happy about it. Somebody ought to say amen. Don't be scared. I know I ain't always happy about it. But what we have to realize, though, is that God's plan has a purpose. And the purpose of God's plan sometimes causes us to be uncomfortable. Because when I think about Mary and Joseph having to travel during her 9th month of pregnancy, traveling from, we see, Nazareth and coming all the way to Bethlehem, and there's roughly an 80-mile trek to go from one place to another. She did this during her 9th month of pregnancy, and once she's there in Bethlehem, the town, Mother Austin, is loaded with people everywhere. Nobody got any rooms. There's no vacancies. So they end up in the stable. Dark and smelly place. And when they get there, they figure, well, after we get registered, then maybe we can go out to the outskirts and find some place. But after they get there, she goes into labor. She has the child there in the stable. They end up laying the child in the manger. And while they are there, Sister Fee, I know Mary is trying to understand, Lord, I'm not understanding why it's happening like this for me. I am supposed to be blessed and highly favored. This doesn't seem like a plan for somebody who is blessed and highly favored. Because if I'm blessed and highly favored, I'm thinking I would be up a little higher. But what it appears by being blessed and highly favored, it didn't seem like I've been elevated. It seems like I've been pulled down. Because if I'm blessed and highly favored, how could the Christ child be born in such conditions, which truly are not the best for a child to be born in? How can this be? You see, God's plan always supersedes ours. And God's plan doesn't always work out the way we think it's going to work out. Because I just want to have about three or four sisters raise your hand and say, yeah, I want to have my baby in that situation. Not one of y'all would. Right? So what we're seeing is that God had a plan that just didn't make sense to Mary. It didn't make sense to Joseph. But they found themselves in the place that nobody would envy. They found themselves in a public area where everybody could hear what is going on and hear her in labor and hear the first cries of the child. No privacy. Not very sanitary, not very clean. But I want you to know that Jesus is there. So Deacon Faulkner, that makes it a blessed place. And now that Jesus there is there in this blessed place, I want you to know that while that plan has now happened, there's another plan that is taking place. The next plan that is taking place is happening out in the field where the shepherds are watching over their flock. They have to watch over their flock at night because they know for a fact that the sheep do not have any defenses against the predators. So the shepherds are the only defense that the sheep have to rely on, because if the shepherds aren't doing their job, the sheep will be eaten by the prey. So that's why the shepherds have to be out there at night watching. Keeping the sheep safe. But there's something else about them shepherds we got to know. The shepherds were not in the high society folk. They were the low folk. They did the job that nobody else wanted to do. You see, because when you're a shepherd, the Orthodox priests and the leaders, Reverend Flippin, they didn't like the shepherds because they were unable to abide by all of their rituals and cleansing and washings of hands. How are you going to keep yourself clean if you're always around sheep? And because of that, we are seeing that, Reverend Rose, that the Pharisees saw them as a necessity. Like folk, we have come to sweep our floor because we don't want to sweep it ourselves. I got to have somebody do the stuff I don't want to do. So I need them. I don't necessarily like them, but I've categorized them as those who are the low end folk. The least among us, the last among us. This is how the shepherds were perceived by many. Even if they ever came to the temple, they're like, oh, no, brother, you got to go away. You ain't smelling too good right now. They were always on the outside looking in. All right. But while they were out there on their jobs, and many have said that the whole purpose of them being there in the fields with these sheep, it has been identified that these are the sheep that they utilized for the slaughters in the temples. So they wanted to make sure they had sufficient sheep and that the sheep were without spot and without wrinkle. So they had the shepherds do and take care of that for them, but still they were considered to be the least of these. And while they're out there, something happens. While they're on their job, something happens. It tells us that while they are there, the glory of the Lord shone around them, and an angel appeared. You see, the glory of the Lord doesn't need any kind of light, because the glory itself is the light. You see, my brothers and my sisters, the glory of the Lord is his own light. Don't you know that's why a church should never be in darkness, even if we lose power right now? Because the glory of the Lord is all the light.
Amen.
Oh, somebody gonna work with me. You see that the glory of the Lord brings his own light. And when the glory of the Lord came there and the angel came, could you imagine these shepherds who are out in the field? They've never seen nothing like this before. Brother Charles, they were scared. They were afraid. They did not know what was about to happen. But that's when the angel said to them, don't be afraid. You don't have no reason to be afraid. Because I'm bringing you some good news. That in the city of David, a Savior, the Messiah, the Lord, is born. And he is born. And I want y'all to go see it for yourselves. And when you go see it for yourselves, I'm going to tell you how to find him. He's going to be wrapped in, King James says, swaddling cloths. Right? And he will be laid in a manger. You see, now that's the part that's important. You see, because all the kids are wrapped in cloths when they're born. But don't no mother want to put their child into a manger. That's called a feeding trough. Ain't nobody putting their child in a feeding trough because of the fact that that's where the animals eat out of. And I'm not putting my child in nothing animals eat out of. So what the Lord was telling them is that you can find the Christ in a feeding trough. And since he's in the feeding trough, Deacon Jones, you ain't got to expect him to be in nobody's house because ain't nobody putting a feeding trough in the house. So he's going to be easy to identify. He's going to be easy to find amongst all them people. And after the message was given, you know what happened? The heavenly host, the heavenly choir broke out in song. You see, whenever the word of God is sent out, it causes us to be inspired by the word of God. That's how come when once we hear the word of God, we can't be quiet. Somebody got to sing. Somebody got to praise. Because once the word goes out, we know it's going to bring some change for us. And what has happened here is that it tells us the heavenly host began praising God and saying, you see it right there for yourself, right? So the glory to God in the what? Highest heaven. Letting us know it's going to be about peace among those whom he favors, who are here on this earth. And after all that happened, got dark again. Think about that. You don't went from doing your normal routine. And God just came and disrupted everything by sending an angel that gave you a message. And once you got the message, then all of a sudden the choir just came and started singing and praising God. And after all that, it gets dark. Now, how do you respond to what you've just received? What do you do with the information you now have? And with the information that they have now received, I want you to know they got two choices. Deacon Wiley, they can stay right there and just keep watching the sheep. Or they can pack up and head to Bethlehem to go see what they already heard about. And you know, the interesting thing is that it wasn't even a debate. They said, now let us go. Now, wait a minute now. You mean to tell me they going to go? If they going to go, who going to watch the sheep? If they're not on their job, who going to do it? That would have been easy for them to just say, well, we can't go because can't nobody watch the sheep. But then again, God's plan was for them to leave where they were. God didn't say the sheep would be all right. God didn't say anything but told them to do what? Go. You see, what we have to realize is when God tells us to go, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, he don't need to hear excuses. You see, God told us to go, and if God tells us to go, what do we need to do? You see, my brothers and my sisters, how many of us are staying stuck where we are because we all about giving some excuses? You see, because of the fact that we've gotten into the routine of this is what we do every night. We got to watch over the sheep. And if we don't watch over the sheep, the prey will come and devour the sheep. God didn't say anything about that. God told them to go. And he told them to go when? Now. And now it's left up to them to act now or stay where they are. How many of us have missed out on blessings because we gave God excuses? How many of us heard it but didn't move on it? How many of us heard what God told us to do? Heard what we can expect, but rather than doing what God told us to do, we rather sit there and just say, "Nah, I just can't go right now. I just can't do it. Who's going to take care of this if I'm gone?" Well, somebody was taking care of it before you got there. So you have to understand that at some point, you know, it ain't all on you. So what God is telling us is that when we put our trust in him, if he told you to go, don't you think God going to take care of what you leave behind? Don't you think God's going to make sure what you left behind is going to be all right? You see, my brothers and my sisters, God's got a plan. And he might not give us all the details, but what God wants to know is, will you trust me? God wants to know, will you step out on faith? God wants to know, will you do what I'm instructing you to do, even when it doesn't make sense to you? It's not our plan. It's God's plan. And if God is instructing you on what you are to do right now, then my brothers and my sisters, you need to do it. Because that means that God is going to take care of everything else. So, Sister Rhodes, you know what they did? They all got themselves together, and them brothers all left. Maybe there might have been some shift. No, probably wasn't no sisters. Sheep herders back then. Maybe it was. Maybe it was. Nah, I don't know. But they all went into the city. And as they went into the city, they knew they wouldn't have to go knocking on the doors, looking door to door to see if the child was on the inside. Because it has been made clear that he's lying in a manger, which is letting us know that he's somewhere where they could actually visually see him without going inside somebody's house. And as they're walking, they finally see a man and a woman, and right in front of them is a manger, and what's lying in the manger is a baby. Now they know they are in the right place. And they know that they are in a blessed place because the Lord is the one who blessed them to come. And the Lord is the one who is blessing the place that they are at. And when they got to that place, I want you to know that the secret has been brought out. You see, they have been notified by the angel. And once they've been notified by the angel, and now that they have seen it come to pass, guess what they didn't do? They did not keep quiet. They did not shut up. They got as loud as they could be because the evidence of what they heard about, they now see it in front of them that they couldn't keep it to themselves. You see, my brothers and my sisters, when the Lord blesses you, when the Lord heals you, when the Lord delivers you, when the Lord makes a way for you, that ain't the time to sit down and shut up. That's a time for you to let somebody know how good our God is. Do I got any witnesses in God's house who understand how good our God is? Understand how far he brought you? Understand how he made a way for you? All God wants to know, will you go and tell somebody? You see, there's something we got to get from this. What we got to get from this is that the message didn't end with the shepherds. The message began with the shepherds. Oh, did you catch that? You see, God gave them the message, which means that God gave them the start. And it was left up to them to take what God gave them, start on their way. And once they went forward, found the evidence, it was now time for them to continue to pass the information on. You see, my brothers and my sisters, when God blesses you, he ain't bless you so it ends with you. God blesses you because God is just getting you started. Do I got any folk in here who are getting started? Do I got anybody in God's house who know God is blessing you in order for you to get started? And the reason why God is blessing you, because God is letting you know that you have been accepted. These who were considered to be last, God made them first. These who were considered to be the least were the first to get the information. You see, my brothers and my sisters, you see, I am so thankful that God does not categorize people the way we do. You see, because we'll throw categories on folk real quick. Oh, this one ain't going to be able to do this. Oh, this one can't do this. Or because of their education, because of this, because of that. We will categorize folk and we will put limits on folk. Or we will keep folk in the background. We'll keep folk on the outside. And that's where the shepherds were. They were always on the outside. But I want you to understand, I'm so thankful God don't think like we think. I'm so thankful when God see us, he ain't looking at what's on the outside. I know some of us looking real good right now. Shoes all shiny, hair all done up, nails all done up, got on the makeup, the mascara, the cologne, the perfume, eyelashes that bat that every time they bat, boy, you feel a breeze. Come on now, we do it up real good. We want you to know we look good. But I want you to understand something. I don't care how good you look when you come in here. God ain't looking at us on the outside. God is looking at us on the inside. God wants to know, are we different on the inside? Are we healed on the inside? Do we look good or not? You see, and this is what it's all about. God loves everybody. God truly has a place in his heart for the least of these. Those who were considered outcasts. Those who were just there because nobody else wanted to do what they're doing. God, they have a special place in God's heart. And God makes them the first to hear the good news. And once they hear the good news, they respond to the good news because they run to the city. And when they run to the city, the whole purpose of going there was to go to see the evidence of what they heard about. You see, my brothers and my sisters, you see it all up in verse number 17. Because when they saw this, they made it known to let everybody know who could hear them. So there were a lot of folk around them who were asleep. There were a lot of folk around them who was trying to get their Z's on, but these shepherds kept making all this noise. It woke up a lot of folk who were asleep around them. You see, but you know what? The same thing happens in church sometimes. Some folk fall asleep on God. But I'm here to tell you, God wants us to what? Wake up, because we got some good news. We got some evidence. We got something that'll help them get through. You see, my brothers and my sisters, if you are a child of God, you can't come to God's house and fall asleep. If nothing else, it's going to do what? Wake you up. So once they got there, and once they started talking, everybody started listening. Because they realized it didn't end with them. They could have just saw Jesus and said, thank you, Lord, and went back. But you know what it let them know? That they are now accepted. Where everybody else was rejecting them, God was accepting them. And how did God accept them? Just. He didn't tell them to clean up and go see. He didn't tell them to get a haircut and go see. He didn't tell them to go change your outfit and go see. He just said what? Go see. So why are we putting so many restrictions on folk? Well, you can go to church, but you can't go to church dressed like that. Now, if you're presentable, now we don't want nobody coming up here wearing no bikini. You understand what I'm saying? That's when you say, you know what, you got to cover that a little bit. You know, just be respectful to where you're going. You follow me? Remember, Rose, cover all that. I'm sorry. But you understanding what I'm saying? God is saying, come as you are. If all you got is a t-shirt and a good pair of jeans, come as you are. If all you got is some sandals and no sneakers, come as you are. You see, the only thing that puts requirements on folk is other folk. You see, God, all God wants from us is the best that we have to offer. And all God is saying is that when you come, he's not looking at the condition on the outside. He's looking at the condition on the inside. God wants to change us from the inside out. So he was letting these shepherds know that you are now accepted, because I didn't just send an angel. I also sent my heavenly choir. I sent my heavenly host to go on and get their praise on right there in your presence, to let you know that you are. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, God ain't kick us to the curb. Either way, that's all good. But we got to understand that we ain't get kicked to the curb. Folk might try to kick you to the curb. But once you give your life to Christ, you are accepted. I know you ain't all that you ought to be, but thank God you're not what you used to be. I know you still struggle with some of this and struggle with some of that, but you ain't no longer been kicked to the curb. I know you don't dot all your I's and cross all your T's, but God ain't kicked you to the curb. And once you come and give your life to Christ, I want you to know that you are. And I want you to know, before you give your life to Christ, we want you to know that the Lord is waiting for you, because he has already accepted you, and he accepted you just the way you are. Don't fix it and then come, because if you could, you'd do it already. You come just the way. And let God do what only God can do. And I want you to see that once they did this, verse 19 hits me. Because it says in verse 19, but Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. Why did Mary do this? Because Mary was struggling with God's plan. Can we all be real? Amen. I thank God for his grace and mercy. Yeah. You see, because I knew Mary was struggling having to travel that distance in her ninth month. Mm-hmm. I know Mary was struggling having to give birth in a stable. And as she gave birth to her child, she's holding her child while Joseph is taking the manger, cleaning it out to the best of his ability. He ain't had no hand sanitizer. He ain't had no bleach. But he found a way to get it as clean as he could get it. He found some clean hay. He laid some clean hay in it. He laid some blankets in it. He padded it with so many blankets and tried to get it as clean as he can. And then he took Jesus from Mary and he laid him in this manger. And as Jesus was laying in that manger, I can see Mary sitting there with tears flowing from her eyes, still trying to understand and grasp what is going on. But Mary didn't know that God had a plan. And the plan was that this is a blessed place. And what God was saying to Mary, it's going to be all right. I'm going to show you how blessed this place is, because the Christ child is born in this place. And wherever Christ is born, it is a blessed place. And since he is in this place, he is in this open area to let everybody know that all that want to come to him, all that want to see him, all that want to praise him are welcome in this place. You see, because if you're behind a door, that means you can decide who comes in and who goes out. But I'm here to tell you that he was born in a dark and smelly place to let them know that, yes, this might be the world, but when Jesus is born in this place, he changes the entire atmosphere in the place. And when the shepherds came and saw Jesus in the place, they couldn't do nothing but praise God in the place, which tells me that all God is looking for are some folk who are willing to praise him, looking for some folk who are giving him some glory, honor, and praise. You might not have the big place, you might not have the best place, but wherever Jesus is, I want you to know that is up. You see, my brothers and my sisters, you might not have 50 or 20 musicians. You might not have a choir with 200 in it. But as long as you got some folk who realize that they are in a blessed place, don't you know a whole lot of praise can happen in that place? Because you know that the Lord is in that place. And since the Lord is in that place, that makes it a what? Blessed place. And now that I'm in the place, I know I am blessed. So, what Mary is treasuring is seeing how God's plan has now come to fruition. The plan was for Jesus
to be born in a place that was accessible to any and everybody. And he was born in a place where others would not envy. He wasn't born on the house in the hill, in the palace, with servants all around. He was born with cows chewing and sheep baying and donkeys hee-hawing and all that other stuff. But all I'm telling you, he was in a place where any and everybody could get to him. You see, I am so thankful that the Lord cares about the least of these. And truth be told, most of us in here started out being the Oh, somebody, come on now. I know you're holy. I know you're making six figures. I know you're all out of bag of chips, two soda, but there ain't no shake on the side. But I want you to know, most of us in here started off as the least of these. And it's God who has elevated us. And because we've been elevated, we still can't forget the least of these. That's why within this ministry, we are big on outreach. Because we understand that God has called us to serve. Who did he call us to serve? The least of these. And now that God is continuing to bless us and move us forward, we are excited. Why? Because we know that we have been accepted. And now that I've been accepted, I am so thankful. Because I know I've been rejected by so many folk. I've been told I would never amount to nothing. I was told I would never be nothing but a bum. I was told that I wouldn't be able to have two nickels and rub them together. You see, my brothers and my sisters, when folk look at you when you first started out, they didn't see what you could become. All they could see is what you were. But I am so thankful that our God doesn't focus on what we are. Our God focuses on what we can become. Do I got some folk in here who know it's nobody but the Lord who brought you a mighty long way? Nobody but the Lord who turned your life around. Nobody but the Lord who did the impossible in your life. You see, I tell you, we serve a mighty good God, and I am so thankful that I am accepted. Whew. So Mary pondered all this. Mary kept all this. You see, sometimes when you see and you got the word of God, you got to put that stuff in you. All right. You know why you got to put that stuff in you? Because there's going to come a time where you're going to need for it to come out of you. All right. There's going to be a time when you're going to have to need it again. You see, because when Jesus was born, he was born in conditions that nobody would envy. He was born in a unique place so that everybody could get to that place. But I also want you to know that when he died, he was crucified. And when he was crucified, there are so many who say, how could he be the Messiah? Because I saw where he was born. I might can get past that. But I can't get past on how he died. But they don't realize he died not for himself, but he died for the entire world. He took the sin of the world to the cross. So what was nailed to the cross was your sins and my sins. The ones we have committed, the ones we are committing, and the ones we will commit. Oh, somebody working with me. So what we got to understand, Jesus is a unique individual. There was none like him before him, and there's not one like him that come after him. You see, my brothers and my sisters, we got to understand that the Lord came to let us know you've been accepted. He spoke to you to let you know you've been accepted. Just like when Jesus spoke to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, and she said, wait a minute, you a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. You ain't supposed to talk to me. He said, if you only knew, girl, who was talking to you, if you only knew what you could get from me. And there we're seeing that what Jesus did then is what the angel did at his birth, was to let us know we are accepted.